outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of Bavada's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Chain.
I'll warn you right now, this is not a podcast if you think the things that happened in Washington this week were outstandingly wonderful, or if you think the president didn't have any culpability in it. This is not the podcast for you. I'm not doing this to convince you to think differently, but Kyle and I are going to talk about it, mostly for those who are saying, you know what, I got a little uncomfortable on Wednesday. I saw stuff that I didn't really think I'd see in the American democracy, and yet it's here. And so we're going to spend a little time talking about it. But first, some email and some welcome to Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Wayne. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, well, you're the only one who'll come on talk about this with me. So they're kind of down to that, I think. I tried to get my daughter. I said, you know what? I'd really love to, you know, how you're processing this and how you're doing it with your kids. And she goes, Dad, I have nothing to say about this. I don't even talk about this stuff with my friends, which is part of the problem we're having. So she said, do it, Kyle. So here you are. And here I am.
So she threw me under the bus. Okay, I'll have to thank Julie for that later.
Yeah, I might want to spend some time with Julie, kind of work that out and get your relationship back in. But I have some emails that are just really touching. So I thought I'd read a couple of them first. One is from Mike from Ohio. It's spelled like Michi, and I forget how to exactly pronounce it. But he said, I just listened to your last podcast, 783. I think the last book I read was The Shack. And even that was after I committed myself to stop reading books. Who can turn down reading a book with a black woman as God? I bought the Kindle version, pre-ordered your latest book with the intent of just helping bump it up in numbers so that it might have more of a presence in the book business. But I peeked at the Kindle edition and I have no desire to stop slowly taking in your thoughts. Life is crushing me right now and I feel like I'm in a perpetual mode of, are you kidding me? I think I'm learning that I actually believe the things you say about Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. You stated in your podcast something like, doesn't fit the world's game, doesn't fit the religious game. I will never write a book, but that would be the title if I did. There's something pretty beautiful to realize that the way I have lived all my life, raging against God and all things eternal, is actually just where I needed to be. Who but Jesus does stuff like this? So, yeah, I got people that are way down that book. Those are getting out. We finally got them last week, late in the week. I didn't get mine till yesterday, but we've got copies. They're shipping. You guys are shipping them out. So,
yes, the weekend was full of printing labels and putting books in packages. And we had three huge Rubbermaid container bins that just took to the post office this morning. So the whole first round of everything that got pre-ordered and whatnot should be going out either this morning or tomorrow morning. So
is on the way. So we're grateful to finally have them out. Sorry they were so late for those of you who have been waiting for it. But those of you that got early copies, because we had some people helping us kind of launch this book, the feedback I'm getting is delightful. And I love this. Somebody doesn't even like to read books, doesn't want to read books. Someone who's been raging against God finds a connection inside this little book that's been helping them. And I think that's amazing. I love that. Also got this from Levi in Australia. And Levi, hi. He says he often listens to podcasts while he's out working on his fence. He's a rancher out in the wide open spaces. He said there's not even, I forget what he said, the closest town was like 135 kilometers away or something like that. I don't remember.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's way out in the middle of nowhere. He said, we live so far away from a town that any sort of institution, it's just been a blessing to have encouragement that is outside the system of religion and has opened up so many doors to relationships, both with our 9 Christian neighbors, they have 9, and also great fellowship with brothers and sisters in the towns near us, to where we're also finding the freedom, who are also finding freedom outside the institution. I often think how amazing it is that I can be on a fence line by myself with my dogs, listening to a podcast from the God Journey by myself, and how this network of people and the conversation that are had can encourage me so much. It's amazing how God works. He's so good. I always think about that. You know, I grew up, we didn't have this technology. Think you and I can sit here on a Tuesday afternoon, and by Friday, this thing will be all over the world, and somebody out on a fence line in Australia listens to it, and it's encouraging their journey. But
I love it, and I can appreciate Levi's perspective, too, that I spent many a long day listening to audiobooks, walking fence lines on the ranch. So I can definitely appreciate that.
And that's Wyoming, and that's almost as desolate as wherever he is in Australia. So I don't know if he's going to be out back.
Oh, I doubt it.
I don't think so, but.
Those guys think of our ranches like hobby farms because they just need so many acres. When I was in Australia, I was talking to a rancher, and they had over 80,000 acres, and they were considered a small family ranch.
Well, my dad had about 80, and it was considered a small family ranch. So whatever there is in Wyoming, we think of as huge. Even the west side of California is huge. But then we got this. I got this yesterday, I think, from Pat in Canada. She's, I was wondering if you might be able to have some conversations on your podcast about how we can navigate these days with such different opinions about the U.S. election and the fallout and COVID. You might be surprised to know how many of us Canadians have been following the election. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised because sometimes our politics affects them, maybe even more than their own. Even among friends, family, Christian brothers and sisters, the differences of opinion and belief are staggering. I find myself the odd one out in my circle of family and friends. Most of them believe in the version where Trump is Cyrus and he was God ordained to be the president. I do not believe this at all. My husband is a true believer in all that. We have had our share of arguments on this till I decided to not engage anymore. I'm actually concerned that he, my husband and many others, my Canadian friends, are obsessed with all things Trump. Even after all the events at Capitol Hill this week, there is no convincing them that Trump's done anything wrong. I'm not trying to convince them, but just presenting other info. All I get is that I'm an idiot and listening to the wrong fake news. Sheesh. So how to navigate those issues with once good friends? I don't even want to meet with Christian sisters anymore because of the conspiracy theories and their beliefs. I know this is an easy way out, so how do I stay engaged with my friends? Thankfully, I do have some friends that do not subscribe to the Trump mania. We can imagine that these same people call COVID a plandemic, and the craziness just continues. I really want to be gracious and respectful. Man, what were you thinking this week? This was a crazy week.
It really was. I read your Facebook post. So if those listeners who haven't read it, he's got a Facebook post on his author's page that had quite a few comments on it. And so I went back through and was actually reading some of the comments, and actually I read through most of them. And this is what I wrote down in my journal. I said, the honest feeling I have at this moment is that there is so much corruption and deception on both sides that hold the microphones, that there is no genuine way to know the underlying truth of what is really going on unless God reveals it in prayer and conversation with him. That's where I just landed, was like, I don't know what is, I don't know if there's a media source out there that I can trust. I don't know, like, there's so much deception and corruption going on right now that I don't even know where to land as far as trying to be genuinely informed. You know, I have some connections that were actually at the rally, and they're posting their videos, which are not aligning with what the videos are that are on mainstream media. But then some of their videos are getting censored. But then on the other side, there's like, honestly, I just felt like my head is spinning in regards to where to land as far as what's actually happening. I've got some friends that are on the far end of doomsday prepper and that we're going to be in a lot of trouble here soon. I've got all over the map right now.
And I like what Pat brought up. The harder element here is that we can't seem to talk about it.
Yes.
As a group of people, there are people on one side of this issue. Donald Trump can do no wrong, or maybe he does wrong, but the whole national media is so mean to him that we give him a pass on every criticism. You know, he's just our guy. And there's that element. And then there's the other element. If you say anything that say, you know what, when you talk for 2 months about the election being a fraud, you won a landslide and it's stolen, we got to stop the steal, and you whip up a crowd and then it goes down the street. And I would still say, I think probably the majority of those people in that crowd didn't go down there to do anything illegal, or didn't go down there to invade the Capitol. I think most of them are just that they really believe. And that's the danger of this thing. They really believe what Trump's saying is true. He won by a landslide, and mysterious forces behind the internet, behind voting, behind whatever, stole it. And it's hard to have a reasoned conversation, especially when you're not an advocate for the other side. I'm not a mainstream media guy. I think it's biased journalism. I do. I'm not a Schumer Pelosi fan, not even necessarily a Biden fan. And so when you talk about these things, as you read on my post, my post was just lamenting how could we be here? This is,
yeah.
I never thought I would see the day when quote unquote freedom fighters are invading the Capitol and looking to do serious harm. They're beating people with an American flag, parading the Confederate flag through the place. Now, they had zip ties, which the thought is they're trying to kidnap some of our executives, maybe even execute. There was some report of a gallows being built. Now, I know most Trump people are not going to be supportive of those things. So I don't need your letter. I don't know that. What grieved me so much, though, when I posted that, people I know, people I love, people I would love to have a reasoned conversation about this can't have it. They attack me. They call me judgmental. They call me a Democrat, BLM, lackey. I mean, just the rhetoric from the side that wants to believe this election was stolen and Donald Trump is the rightful president. And we got to do whatever we can to get that to be true, including invading the Capitol, killing people, whatever it is that they wanted to do. And part of it, you know, as Sarah and I talk, part of it's mob mentality. Once you get a mob wound up, you can't always control what happens. And like some people say, oh, I just got caught up in the moment. That's, you know, every gang kid that's ever been arrested, every man or woman that's cheated on their spouse, I got caught up in the moment. That's what makes it criminal, that you got caught up in the moment and you trespassed and you violated a building that's important to the realities of democracy. And you do it. And this one guy on responding to me compared what they were doing to people resisting Hitler before the days of the Holocaust. And I went, wow, do you know anything about that? Because that mob was more like the stuff Hitler does than anything I've seen. I don't think these are freedom fighters trying to fight for democracy. And I do think, and this is where the podcast is going to go. So if you don't like it, turn it off. Join us next week. We're going to talk about the love of God and go on to something else. But where I'm most concerned, and here's my perspective. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm grieving over this thing. Not so much what happened at the Capitol as the discord and rancor among the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That we can't talk about this without people making accusations, getting defensive, getting angry, calling out names of things because they've got a point of view. And if you don't agree with it, then you're not only just wrong, you're evil. In fact, we even get to question your faith. And I saw cancel culture. I mean, people talking about never reading my books again. And obviously your credibility is undermined because you, man. And here's my point of view. I think there is a deluding influence over my brothers and sisters in the world. Now they believe there's one over me. And that's fine. You can believe that. But if we could talk, maybe we'd understand something. But I think there's a delusion because I don't think the people who are posting there are trying to make up this idea of a stolen election. They really believe it happened. And they've got people telling them that. They read media, even though Trump or anyone else has not provided evidence that it's been so. And now Republicans had to go on record on Wednesday saying, no, it hasn't been stolen. The attorney general, former attorney general in the U.S. has told us that. Former Homeland Security has told us that. There wasn't any fraud that rose to the level of changing this election. Now, was there fraud in an election? There's always fraud. There's always irregularities. Are there cheaters out there who are trying to manipulate? Yes, there are. So dead people voted in Georgia, two. They went back through all the ballots. Two dead people voted in Georgia. So it wasn't like enough to change it. But people genuinely believe it is. And the other thing in terms of people responding to my post was it wasn't us. It was Antifa. Those were not Trump supporters. Well, the FBI's arrested a bunch of them. There's not one Antifa guy among them. These are hardened, right people who really feel like we need another revolution and forcibly tried to overturn the will of the people. Because if this election was corrupted, no one has yet shown the evidence to support that. And to turn that anger into God's people, to actually justify an insurrection, and I'm gonna use the word because when you go to the Capitol with weapons and zip ties and you're gonna force your will, you want Pence to do what constitutionally he can't do, to decertify the election and declare Donald Trump the winner or whatever. There's no basis to do that stuff. I'm concerned that people have so long listened to fake news, to QAnon, to the Trump tweets, and others, particularly these false prophets. I've had a lot of people send me these dreams and visions various prophet guys have had about, you know, some of them are Trump's going to lose and the border's going to be opened up and hordes of demons are going to come up here from Mexico and you need to get guns and arm yourself and be ready for an onslaught. And some were dreams of, you know, Trump's going to win. Don't worry. In fact, one guy was saying today, look, I had this dream. I know Trump's going to win. I don't know what's going to happen this week to let that happen, but something big is going to happen. And Trump is going to be our president on January 20th. And I would just say, you know what? You are a false prophet. And we'll know that next week because January 20th is going to come. And they believe there's been this hidden conspiracy. And now Trump's people have all worked behind the scenes and they're getting ready next week to arrest everybody involved in this fraud. And they're going to haul them off to jail. Some say execute them. And we're going to get back this republic. Those are Gestapo tactics, people. If there's information that this election was somehow tainted enough to change the result, no one's put that forward. And for people to believe it, And when I say stuff like that, look, prove me wrong. Next week that all comes to light, I'll be the first one to get on and say, you know what? I was wrong about that. But here's how I know. When people say, I don't know what to believe and what media, well, media is all biased. There's no neutral media today. So the only thing you can do is at least try to take in different media that's trying to tell what they think is true from their perspective. What people have gone to is QAnon and Russian troll forums. I had three people send me the same article about Italy stealing our election. When you read the text, you're going, this is not even QAnon, because QAnon's more careful with its facts than this. This was just totally made up, probably in some troll farm in Russia. And people read it and believed it because it fit the narrative they wanted to believe. And so when I get in things like this and I'm going, okay, I don't have any special information. I don't. But I have people I know and people I love and people I trust. And when I'm feeling like, man, this is on my heart. Now, when I share that with people who see it differently, if they can sit down and have a reasoned discussion with me, then I'm okay. Yeah, we can see this differently. Time will tell. We'll know, absolutely. That's what I said to people. Said this was just Antifa. Give it a few days. We will know. And if it's not, and if it's not Antifa, you know, are you guys going to apologize? Because if it is Antifa, I will.
Yeah,
I will. I'll just say, hey, got that wrong. But I don't think you can put 2 months of steal the vote out there and not whip up a crowd that believes it. Now feels like they've been defrauded by powers behind the deep state. I was called deep church at one point. I don't even think the church claims me, so I don't know what deep church means. It's just people get panicked. And when you pop a little bit at their illusions, and I think that's what they are, because the people I know, and I mean not just locally, there are people internationally, overseas, people I love and know. And I trust their heart. I see people are saying, you know, this is what I see. And there's a compassion and a heart in it, and there's not the anger and accusation in it. Anger and accusation always says to me, you're believing a lie. And now you've got, even if you don't know you're believing a lie, no one wants to believe a lie, right?
Yeah.
No one does. But when you are protective, when you are defensive, when you are angry, when you cut people out of your life, when you do that because they don't see what you see, what I know about those kind of people is they're protecting something. And they don't even know they are. I think lies, our spirit knows. So when we're trying to defend something and there's something in us that goes, I don't know if this is right, we're going to go to war for it because we're afraid of being wrong. Afraid of it. I'm not afraid. If what I'm saying on this podcast is wrong, I'll own it on the backside. I will. I'll say, you know what? I was completely misled. I thought Trump was a bit of a narcissistic man who has done some wonderful things. I keep saying that. I'm not a Trump. Everything Trump did is evil. No, Trump. Yeah. I like Trump's policies. I like a lot of his policies. I've wrestled with his character because character matters. And now we see how much it matters. I'm talking too much, Kyle. Jump in here, will you?
No, I think that was my first response when I was reading through the messages, was just like, Lord, my heart is breaking right now, because this isn't a conversation. This is a verbal battle. Like, there was not a lot of grace-based conversation that was going back and forth between people who have differing opinions. It was back to what we talked about a few podcasts ago about, it was a fight or flight, aggressive.
It was.
It was not a prefrontal cortex conversation where there's empathy and creative thought and love can be processed. No, it was as core brain as possible, and it was just straight limbic system responses. So, you know, we had talked about how politics and religion are processed in the fight or flight center of the brain.
Political and thought and religious thought, both. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it almost has felt like those lines, especially in this election, because there had been some blurring that had been taking place, I think, in the religious institution of Christianity in regards to political views and adherence for a long time. But then now you have this election and the blurring between adherence to Christ-like principles and following in the discipleship of Christ's life versus following in the discipleship of the American dream or American politics or American westernized Christian religion. That has gotten a blinding spotlight put on it, I feel like, in the last months. And the response hasn't been good. It hasn't been I had no idea that this was happening. You know, and I'm sure there are some people who are responding that way, but I feel like the general tone, like you said, has been this fear, this defensiveness, this anger that has been like, ooh, something that I have been believing is a core part of my identity and my belief system for a long time may not be as sure and as Christ breathed as I thought. And that is disruptive. No matter how it comes about, that's disruptive. But it's where your heart takes that and how you respond that really leads to the next step of the conversation.
Yeah, even people that were wanting to defend me and jump in there and say, hey, we know Wayne. Wayne's it. I was going, no, I don't need that. I'm not being wounded by people. Even close friends of mine who write, oh, I'm really disappointed in you, Wayne. You really are duped. And I'm not wounded by that, because I live in a different space than your identifiers of me make sense in my world. If any of those people wanted to sit down and talk to me, I would be happy to talk to them. But yeah. I'm not going to sit there and let them just make accusations at me. I don't need that. But it doesn't land anywhere. There's something about the freedom. I've been lied about enough by so many people that people who are going to attack me on a Facebook post, seriously, it's just not, it just doesn't register in my world. Yeah. So I don't need people to defend it. I thought maybe this incident would unmask it for all of us. That, yeah, there are lies being told, and now it's gone too far, and this is a bridge too far. But I saw many of my friends on the right, and the political people, the QAnon, there are people who fight this as a war on both sides, left and right. Antifa is the same way. So one side doesn't justify the other. But what I hurt with most is the number of Christians, people I know love the God I love, are completely deluded by the political operatives in this whole situation. And they actually believe things that can be shown to be untrue, but they reject any evidence to the contrary of their conviction. And that's that, you know, we'll get to that, because I think there's a whole lot on the amygdala and the fight or flight and that area where we process political thought that really social scientists say, left and right, this is not a conservative issue. This is left and right, that once you have a political conviction and now you have evidence that comes at you, but you reject that evidence because it doesn't fit your narrative, now you're in what Jesus described as that place when the light that is in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? And I'll say that. I've watched some of my friends wander into the darkness. I see them, and say, well, they think I've wandered into the darkness. Oh, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But I'm where I was a few months, years ago. I haven't moved anywhere. But I've watched friends become more distant, more calculating, more destructive as they've believed things that then make them in the world very different people, ready to take up a cause, ready to go. The whole pandemic thing. There's a real pandemic going on. If you want to argue that with me, I don't want to talk about it. There's a real, and even my friends fight over who's going to get the virus or vaccine and who's not going to get the vaccine. Sarah and I are going to get the vaccine. We're going to do it to serve the world in which we live. Because if 90% of us don't get it, we'll be closed down forever. And if the vaccine has a problem, which I'm not worried about because hundreds of thousands of people have had it. So that's not a fight I want to fight with you. If you don't want to have it, fine. I'm not going to make you take it. I'm not going to rush into your house with an American flag and beat you to death to make you take it. I'm just not going to. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus on this kind of thing. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He says this to Pilate. Yeah. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. And so it's not, are there political operatives out there for all kinds of agendas to lie and deceive and try and get Republican power over Democrat? Yes. I'm concerned about how easily the fears of Christians were tapped. They feel like the media is against them. The left wing is against them. Social justice warriors are against them. Schools are against them. Everything socially has gone against them. So they're going to, man, make a stand, and they're going to fight for liberty. The only problem is their fight for liberty involves oppressing other people who don't agree with them, who don't see it their way. The idea of freedom is for everybody to have freedom, not for only right-wing Christians. And when there was all that concern about how easily Muslims were radicalized back in the early 2000s, I saw a whole bunch of Christians radicalized by their fear that they've got a responsibility to take America back for God or take whatever. And none of that feeds the thing Jesus asked us to do in the world, which was to be lovers of our enemies and to lay down our lives. And none of it touches that. It's all very self-driven. And my political desires line up with my personal preferences, line up with my religious justification, and I can go on. The other scripture has been on my heart when I listen. I've listened to a number of these prophetic guys of late because I want to know what other people are hearing. How do you get to that place? I had people guarantee me God told them Donald Trump's going to win the election, and now they're doubling down on, well, he'll win it next week somehow. Well, any way he wins it now is purely corrupt. Any way he wins it now, unless there's this massive fraud, which, you know, not one bit of it has risen to the surface by even Republican operatives. The only ones still saying it are QAnon people way over there making up stuff, prophetic people who are a little deluded, and Donald Trump. But it's not being said by people who have some sense of responsibility to stand behind those words. So when people hear all this, I know that I get this question. I've had a lot this week, so I'm going to try and answer it. And you can work these through with me if you want to, Kyle.
Yeah.
I just thought, how do you know when you're being deluded? How do you know? Because delusion feels like you're being right. No one like, oh, I'm going to be deluded here. But a fear gets tapped. A promise is made. You begin to buy into conclusions that are not true, but you don't know they're not true. And then you are reading voices, listening to voices that undergird what you're wanting to believe is true. Then you get angry. And then we learn. So here's how I know when somebody is being lured into a delusion. And this is whether it's a cult. I've worked with a lot of people coming out of cults, whether it's politics, whether it's just relationships, a toxic person in a relationship with their spouse or their relatives. Number one, you see your side is all good and the other side is all evil. There's no nuance. There's no realizing in this flawed world, all of us see some things clearly and don't see some things clearly. The Democrats have some compassion for poor and for justice that Republicans seem to lack, but they also have some other stuff that makes it scary, okay? And Republicans are the same way. And even church groups and leaders. None of us see it perfectly. I'm saying that about myself too. So if you can't hold that loosely, if you're all right and anybody opposed to you is all wrong, you're on the wrong side of the ledger. People who see things differently make you angry. And I said that earlier about trying to defend a lie I don't know is a lie always makes me defend. I've had people to my face tell me something I know isn't true because I was there. They weren't even there. And I'm trying to say, that's not exactly how that happened. And instead of, really? They go, no, you liar. And then it's gone. Because
and then conversation's over.
Anger to me is always a sign that you're believing something that isn't true. Because people who believe the truth can hold it lightly. Go ahead.
Well, and it's interesting because anger is a secondary emotion. Anger is triggered by another more core emotion, whether it be shame or sorrow or pain or, you know, there's a deeper emotion that's triggering that.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm working with clients, that's one of the things that when there's a lot of anger there, it's like, okay, what's the emotion underneath the anger? Because the anger is the external emotion that I'm seeing, or it's triggering the behavior that we're seeing. But what's really driving that anger? What's triggering it? What's causing it to be so dominant in your life right now?
And I think a lot has to do with fear, don't you? Particularly in this environment.
Oh, absolutely.
We're afraid. Absolutely. And I mean, Yoda was right about that. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And hate leads to suffering. And that's the path to the dark side. I think that's true. I think that we get afraid. We get afraid the country's no longer the country I want to be part of. And there are other people going to make me do what I don't want to do. And that fear leads to anger. And that anger leads to hatred of other people. So you get this very clear. This is the light. This is the dark. I hate those people. I love these people. The third thing is you can't consider interpretations other than your own. You get so embedded in your conclusion that you can't rethink when new evidence emerges. I think Tracy Levinson on a past podcast, this is about girls and boyfriends. You know, you meet this guy and he's so nice. And she's talking about teenagers or 20-ish. And he does everything for you. And then he's your shining white knight in his armor. And then he cheats on you. Oh, but that's, you know, he's a great guy. He made a mistake and he cheats on you again, or he yells at you, or he beats you. And every time the new fact doesn't get interpreted into the reality. And I think that's a sign of delusion, because instead of going, oh, hey, every new fact informs me in a way, but I reject any fact that doesn't fit the narrative I had when I first met him and we fell in love and everything was wonderful. Now I can't rethink it. And if you can't rethink with new evidence, if you only look for evidence that confirms your bias, you can know you're on your path to delusion. You can just know you are. Mm. And number four, and I'm going to do this in a blog, so people don't have to write these down, whatever. I hope to get it done tomorrow. But you eliminate conflicting input.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's mainstream media, so wipe all that out. And then I'm stuck with the media that undergirds a negative, an untrue narrative. Even Fox News is taking it on the chin. It hasn't gone right enough for some people on the right. Wow, if they lose the right, what's Fox got left? But we end up inside of media, or I've seen this with cults, where you can't read books from outside the cult. You can't talk to leaders outside the cult. You can't. We've got to control the information. Why? Because lies are so vulnerable.
Mm.
They're so fragile. Truth is not fragile. You can listen to somebody else who disagrees with you. You won't get angry. You'll just, oh, that's interesting. I don't quite see it that way, but that's interesting you do. There's no anger inside the truth. And there's the ability to hold it loose enough to take a look at other things. So I take in all kinds of input. Man, tell me, say, you know, and I know it's one of these prophets. I can see it in the first 30 seconds, the arrogance. I'm better than you. I've never been wrong. I mean, Paul said, we all see through a glass darkly. So any prophet that starts with, I had this dream, I've had a lot of dreams. And I could come on here and say, boy, this dream proved this and that. Now, I believe God speaks in dreams. I have got a lot of dreams. I've got some on my computer right now that people have had recently about me that I go, that's interesting. I'm going to hold that. And so I believe God speaks that way. But when you using that to kind of fluff up, there was a guy, big deal in Kentucky, you know, had a dream Trump was going to be reelected. Well, he wasn't. So now what are you going to do? That's not every dream you have is a God-given dream. And I don't even think, and I'll be honest with you, I know enough about this that people make up those dreams. If I can say it's a dream, it has more weight than if
well, I and it's hard to it's hard to dispute it as well, right? Because it's got God's name on it, and there's no way to replicate it. You can't go back in and have the exact same dream, and so there's no way to. It's very difficult to challenge.
But to be able to say, hey, if you're that certain, I know you're wrong. I just do. Because no one's that certain about anything. We see through the glass darkly, and that's why I have people around me that I'm talking about this stuff all the time with. Not all of the people I talk to about this agree with me. Yeah. But I want to hear what they're thinking. I want to know what they know. And if we don't get angry, now, if they get angry with me, I'm done. I'm just really not going to have a fight over this. We just got a few more here before we wind up. The imagined infallibility of the leader or your own thinking. Error always falls claims of infallibility because you don't want anybody questioning it, rethinking it. Infallibility is critical. The leader, whether it's a cult or whatever, demands they're always right. And questioning them is wrong. And anger results from questioning, you know, even we just watched what happened between Trump and Pence this week. Just those two have been working together for 4 years.
And just Pence because stood by his side for, I mean, through a lot of stuff.
And then when he honestly says the Constitution does not allow me to do what you want me to do, I have to stage a coup to do what you want. And I'm not doing it. And then that's it.
Yeah.
You're out and angry and belittled. Because the imagined infallibility of the leader is critical to maintaining the delusion. Two others. One, you cast aspersions on other people who disagree with you. It's not enough to say, oh, you think about that differently. Well, why do you think differently? No, you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and believe that stuff. I'll never read a Wayne Jacobson book again if you think that way, because you're obviously losing all your credibility because you don't agree with me about whatever I'm thinking. And the other thing they cast aspersion on is people's motives, because that's the thing you can't disprove. When somebody says, oh, you're just saying that because you have no right to confidently identify someone else's motive. You just don't, because you don't know. Paul says we don't even know our own motives at times, which is why I think humble people who can go through stuff like this and be open to the fact that, yeah, I might be wrong. But that doesn't mean I can't also say, as Isaiah did to Israel, there are prophets prophesying illusions. Remember that whole thing we did on Embracing His Glory this last year on the podcast was all about Jesus poking holes in our illusions. And what we said was, nobody likes that. I get it. We defend our illusions because they serve something, where they give us a false comfort, whatever they do. And the final one is this.
Absolutely.
We justify our bad behavior because the bad behavior of our imagined enemies is worse.
Mm.
Now, when you find people like that who don't want to talk about, hey, what was going into the Capitol an appropriate response from people on the right? Well, Black Lives Matter did worse this summer. And all of a sudden, they're deflecting to a different conversation. No, I'm not a fan of all that happened in the protests this spring. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not. There was lawlessness. I think we've got to decide there's a difference between protesting and rioting. There's just a difference. And I don't think it escapes most people to say there is a difference, but for whatever reason, law enforcement has decided we lay down in the face of lawlessness instead of, no, we stand up to it. Just because you're upset about something going on doesn't give you the right to destroy and kill and maim people. It does not. And you need to be tried and you need to be dealt with in that way. So, and I've heard a lot of that in my feed. If people go back and read that old Facebook post, man, there's so much of, what those people did is not as bad as what those other people did. And when you're doing that, you're well on your road to a delusion.
Well, even like you mentioned the police and discerning between a riot and a peaceful protest. And yet, you've got the authority and the trustworthiness of our nation's police services that have come under question and have had their legs cut out from underneath them, you know? And so then they're in fear of what's going to happen if we stand up, or what's going to happen if we do this or that. Then they're almost being rendered powerless in some regards. And it's a very interesting time. But the thing that hit me the most as you were reading those is how closely those mimic the core, either red flags or cues of being in an abusive relationship.
Wow.
Or that a person is an abuser. And it's so interesting to me that those would so closely mimic one another. Like, it was, I was listening to you as you're going through that. I was like, oh man, that's one, that's one, that's one. I was like, yikes.
Yeah. And you don't have to be anything more than a deluded, offended person to be an abuser. Cause I don't think these people would think, well, I'm not an abusive person. I just am afraid that our country is being stolen by, and then anybody that comes along and says, well, in fact, it is being stolen. Those people have done these bad things and we need to, and then it ranks up the anger and then we've got to respond in kind and the hatred. And this is why with the whole protests this spring and now this thing in the Capitol, this is where, and I'll put this at the feet of both political parties, are not serving us well, because they're not allowing us to have a conversation about what it is that we as a society want to embrace. It's a tit for tat. You won that. We'll win this. We'll push our way. You push your way. And it's not serving us well. And but my hope has never been in the politics of the United States government. I'm a citizen here, so I want it to be the best it can be. I've spent time in Washington. I've spent time in state capitals helping people find a way to bridge these kinds of concerns. I know that there are lots of people who do, but the people who hold power don't. They enjoy the rancor. They enjoy exploiting the fears and anger of their world to get the agenda of their side advanced and to discredit the agenda of the other side. And until enough citizens say, hey, we're done with that. And for me, people who know God, who know politics is not our answer. We get to live in the world differently. We're called to love and lay our lives down. And if you're not willing to do that, then do whatever you got to do, but stop dragging Jesus into it, because you're disfiguring the God who is. And to Pat, I would say, how do you deal with that with your relatives and whatever? One, I think not engaging it with people who can't be reasonable or are, as your words, Kyle, abusive, is a great strategy. Do not have that conversation.
Because it's not, they're not ready for it.
Yeah, and be a patsy either. You can say to people, you know, I disagree with you, but I really don't want to get into it with you because I don't think you're ready for this discussion, which will make them mad. Yeah. And when they're mad, you just say, that's exactly why, right there.
Correct. Because you're already triggered.
But find people you can have this conversation with. Even people who disagree with you. There are people who have this conversation. I'll have with anybody who posted on my page. You want to talk to me? All my contact stuff is out there. Get a hold of me.
Yeah.
And I know I'll be swamped with stuff, but if you're coming at me to convince me that you're right and I'm deluded, that's not going to be helpful. This podcast was not to convince you you're deluded. This was to say to people who are going, I don't know what to believe anymore. Look for character. Look for that. Look for people who are passionate, have views, but are not angry, are not deceptive, who are not trying to take by force what they can't win through democratic means. And hopefully next week we get on to talking about Jesus again and love and life. This has been a hard week for me. I've been in grief. I've been in tears over what's happened in the body of Christ. I've been in tears with Jesus about it. And we're praying and hoping something turns the tide someday.
Yeah, there's been there's just been this gnawing on my heart of just a deep need to take a step away from it all, to have no access to, you know, and just, I just feel my heart being drawn into the wilderness where it's quiet and where the roar of all the stuff that's going on around is trying to blot out what Jesus is saying. And what is the song of the ages that's going on underneath it all?
Yeah.
That's July 10th out of your journal.
Live, love, free, and full.
July 10th. I was reading that the other day and was just like, oh Lord, yes. How do I reconnect with your song that is taking place at all times, in all places, anywhere in the world, that is lined with your love and your peace and your rest? Because the anger and the discord and the fear, that is the trumpeting wind right now that could easily deafen out everything else.
And wouldn't you rather be led by that song?
Oh, absolutely.
Than the anger,
absolutely,
or the passion to get a political outcome that you want, no matter what that is.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.